Welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you are tuned in to Setting Sail, our weekly podcast that dives through the changing landscape of the entrepreneurship ecosystem and the challenges within. COVID-19 has been a big reality check for the world when it comes to preparedness in terms of healthcare infrastructure. As India is grappling to take care of the overburdening situation, we have some startups and technology firms that are doing their bit to address the concern. One such company is OneMG, which is offering patients online healthcare consultation, medicine delivery, and COVID tests on its platform. Today on the show, we have with us Gaurav Agarwal, founder and chief technology officer of OneMG, to tell us how technology can play a big role in taking care of this situation. Hi, Gaurav. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Priyanka. Thank you so much for having me.
Gaurav, we understand that OneMG has been very active when it comes to performing tests, when it comes to, you know, reaching out to people in the small town, tier 2-3 cities, you're delivering medicines, you're doing, helping people with online consultation. If only you could begin by telling me, how many tests have you managed to conduct for COVID-19 so far? And of that, how many were in Delhi NCR?
You know, maybe I'll take a quick step back and talk about, when the COVID pandemic hit, one of the biggest challenges that we realized early on was going to be testing. And especially because, from an infrastructure standpoint, I think we were right to recognize that we had the labs that could do the testing. But the key questions were around how do we do sample collections, et cetera. And that's where OneMG actually played a fairly pivotal role, especially in cities like Delhi NCR and Gurugram, where we worked very closely with the authorities to set up these collection centers in hospitals, large-scale collection centers in hospitals, et cetera, just freeing up significant healthcare capacity to actually do other stuff like managing the wards, taking care of patients who were sick. Till date, we have done over 30,000 odd COVID tests in just Gurugram and Delhi NCR primarily. And most of our tests have actually been done in mix of public-private setups. So we've done, of course, done home collections, et cetera, for patients who've needed them. But we've also innovated, set up a lot of mobile vans to take to containment zones. We've set up booths to actually collect samples outside of civil hospitals, et cetera, or COVID care centers. And most of this work has been done pro bono, supported by donations, et cetera, from foundations.
Okay. And if you could give us a perspective, out of the 30,000 tests that were done, how many were positive? Just to have an understanding of what is the situation of Delhi NCR right now.
It'd be hard for me to give the positive number because, our positive rates are very, very much in line with the government positive rates that are being publicized. And the government data is actually very, very robust, to be very honest with you, and very candid. But the situation, I think, again, when we started out, the lockdown was, of course, very, very calm, mostly because all of us were staying in. As we started to open up, things started to get worse, where the cases, et cetera, increased. But again, in the last 4 weeks, at least in our testing, our experience, the government has done a phenomenal job at getting a lot of tests done. And we are starting to see the situation calm down quite a bit, even within our tests and within the ecosystem. So OneMG doesn't just do tests, right? We also have very, very deep relationships with pharma companies, hospitals, and then we service needs for patients who become COVID positive and, let's say, arranging medicines, getting them home quarantine care, etc. And across the board, we saw a surge of cases coming up maybe 4, maybe 6 weeks back, and they are starting to actually go down, and things are a lot calmer today. So I would say that at least in Delhi and Gurugram, the situation on the ground is actually much better today and seems to be stabilizing quite a bit, all thanks to probably the work that the government has done over the last few weeks.
So you're quite optimistic that it's just a matter of a couple of months when things are going to settle down for better?
Yeah, so it seems like, look, again, nobody can tell for sure, but a lot of people have built a lot of very, very good, models, modeling out how many positives are coming, how many are recovering, what's the transmission rate, etc. I'm sure you and a lot of the readers would have seen the recent serosurveillance results that came out, right, which are basically doing COVID antibody tests on patients, and they're finding out that actually the seroprevalence or the number of people who have antibodies regarding COVID-19 is around 20-25% in cities like Delhi and Gurugram, etc. So I think a lot of these things indicate that we are progressing. I'm hopeful progressing rapidly towards a stabilization state where, there will be cases, but it will be a lot calmer. Also, you know, I was reading this report somewhere that unlike 4-6 weeks back, hospital beds in Delhi, NCR, etc., are no longer a concern because our rate of recoveries are very, very robust and much better than our rate of infections at this point. So overall, I think all data indicates that we are headed towards a stabilization or a calming phase where we will not be in a panic situation. So I'm hopeful.
You know, Gaurav, the country and the people have paid a price to come to this situation right now. You would, I'm sure, must be aware of so many sorry stories. People didn't get bed. There were casualties happening. The testing didn't happen at the right time. Where do you think, as a technology platform, if I could have your perspective, where do you think we went wrong?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know. And I thought about it. We, of course, being in healthcare, we individually and as a team have thought about it many times. And, you know, I would like to start by saying that in hindsight, I think we could have done a few things better. But when we did those things, I actually think and still agree that they were the best decisions we could have made. So, for instance, you know, lockdown, and I've often thought, what if maybe the lockdown was done a few weeks later? Would we have been better off? But on the flip side, what the lockdown got us was a critical few weeks to actually build up the national healthcare infrastructure. We got these temporary hospitals set up. We identified hotels, etc., for quarantine services. You know, the lockdown, for instance, whether it could have happened sooner or later is a matter of great debate. But I think what the lockdown got us was critical time to build up additional infrastructure to deal with COVID. When we started, we probably have capacity to do 30,000-50,000 tests in the country. But today we are regularly doing, you know, 5 lakh tests or so in the country. So I think a lot of work was done, which was very, very good. But I think I also feel that we could have done things better. So, for instance, hospital bed availability. And these are more structural issues with the healthcare ecosystem in India. So, for instance, technology as a core binding force, right? In the sense that you don't have digital availability of all hospital beds in the country, right? Now, imagine if there was infrastructure which made digital beds or digital bed capacity available for every hospital, every district online, where you could figure out in simple ways where you could take your patient, etc. And you could probably also do grievance redressal because if you will recall, a lot of the cases were where patients were turned away from hospitals because hospitals didn't have capacity or didn't want the risk of COVID patients coming to them. So if these were digitally available, where they could be monitored, they could be tracked, hospitals could be turned maybe into COVID centers ahead of time, forced not to refuse patients away, I think those things could have been helpful. I think a lot of work, good work was done on the telemedicine side, but I think a lot of work could have been accelerated on the testing front, where for many weeks there was a lot of confusion around pricing, around availability, antibody tests being made available, not being made available. And I can understand, you know, COVID is a pandemic which came unannounced, right? Nobody knew. Even today, we don't know enough about the virus. We don't know how it works. There's reports coming that it actually affects your cardiac systems and affects your brain. So I think we were all collectively trying to make sense of a situation where data was lacking. But I do think that if we would have maybe taken more clarifying steps around testing, making them available, not getting into price control and things like that, which actually, to be very honest, I think hurt initial availability of testing. I think those things we could have done a lot better on.
Could you elaborate on the price control argument a bit? Because in this case, are we just talking about the cap that the government put on the testing part, or is there anything else to it?
No, that's it. So the cap was put together. See, it's natural, right? When COVID started, there will be sections to try to profiteer, and the government, I think it was the court that put a price cap on the testing, and the government just implemented that order. But, you know, we were dealing with classic market forces where suddenly the testing demand was ramping up, and it was the time when actually the world as a whole was going through massive COVID infection. So there was a shortage of tests across the board. And in that time, us putting price control limited our ability to get tests done. Also, what happened was that with price control, we essentially just put the testing out of reach of everyone, right? Even people who could pay could not pay for them and get them. And I think we could have handled that situation a bit better by making low-cost testing centers available much more rapidly and finding alternative mechanisms of funding the testing, maybe through grants, et cetera, which happened. I'm not saying they didn't. It happened. And that's how, for instance, 1MG got a lot of testing done in the initial days as well. But I just think that could have been handled in a little more structured fashion than the way it got handled through, you know, a public interest litigation and, you know, court ordering a clampdown on prices and then the government implementing it. You know, I think we have to stay away from some of these things and let the market sort of look, because see what has happened now is that with the demand rising, supply becoming less of a challenge, prices have fallen. You know, prices of PPE kits have fallen, prices of sanitizers have fallen, etc. So I think all of these things happen. They just take time and we just need a little bit of resilience to get past this initial phase and try and stay a little away from controlling the market in very early stages.
All right. So as we speak, one thing which I'm very sure of and which you also likely pointed out is that not just the government, but even technology platforms. And I can say that the so-called startup ecosystem, which boasts about brilliant innovation and technology as a key driver, also failed to a large extent because none of us were just at all prepared. And so many things just went for a toss the moment we realized that we were in such a big sort of situation.
There are always two ways to look at the situation, right? One way to look at it is that, look, we failed because India has, 1.5 million cases today and we didn't rise to the occasion. But the other way to look at it is that we are the largest democracy in the world. We probably got COVID when it had already spread. We took a lot of early steps, but compared to what some of our much richer, you know, counterparts are facing, I think we've gotten off much better. That said, I think as technology companies, et cetera, there's always an opportunity to do better. The challenge I feel, and I can talk from a personal experience, you know, having been driving a lot of these things at 1MG, is that every company was faced with two challenges. One is to protect their own business, their own employees, and businesses have been ravaged. You know, you look at the travel industry, even 1MG, you know, early days, business was basically down to zero due to supply chain issues, et cetera. And we were struggling with, A, how do we help the larger ecosystem do testing, et cetera? And that was where there was an aggressive phase of putting our hats together, figuring out how the proposals, how do we make sure that we can do testing? And, you know, we had as a team figured out very early on that we would need a capacity of at least a few lakh tests a day. And we were putting together a full blueprint of how do we get these centers, et cetera, set up in a nonprofit fashion that people can come and get tests done. But things always in reality have a different way of evolving. So between saving our own employees and keeping them safe and getting our businesses back up and running to actually figuring out how do we help the larger population, I think everyone was struggling. If you ask me, I think we've done a reasonable job, but that's not to say that we could have done a lot better.
Right. What more do you think a technology firm can do? What all are the innovations that 1MG is sitting on right now? What all are the things that you're researching on right now?
From COVID perspective or healthcare
from
in general?
From COVID perspective, overall healthcare perspective, what sort of preparedness do we now have when something like this strikes?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, as healthcare entrepreneurs, we are not very happy. We feel things could have been a lot better. But, you know, so let's step back and think about it. Think about the countries that actually did really well, you know, South Korea, Singapore, etc. And one thing that comes to mind is that these countries actually faced with the SARS flu or the bird flu virus many years back, right? And as a result, because their populations were ravaged and they dealt with these infections, they actually set up a lot of public health infrastructure to actually deal with future pandemics. You know, something that in India we had the good fortune, or in this case, the misfortune of not having gone through, you know, like a fire drill of sorts. And we basically got, and this, the same is true for China, by the way. You know, they had the bird flu pandemic. They set up these large infrastructures that they were able to then quickly reactivate and then replicate throughout the ecosystem. So one of the things that has happened is we have learned this time how some of these things are to work better. So to give you examples on innovations or even just, you know, plain simple standard operating procedures, How do you keep someone safe when they're collecting blood samples? How do you keep your supply chain running? And I'll give you examples there. When we started, we didn't know how do we keep our pharma retail endpoints up and running to get supplies to patients? How do we get the supply chain running to actually get inventory into our medicine retail shops, etc., right? And over time, what has happened is that we've figured out this complex tiering structure of keeping people safe from each other. A lot of our employees during some phases even stayed at hotels, etc., to make sure that they were quarantined, the risk to them was minimized, and patients were actually getting, and there was no sort of infection in the warehouses, etc. Then when it comes to testing, see, the biggest innovation I think that needs to happen in India is that about omnichannel healthcare, which is, you know, the physical digital divide between healthcare has to go down for a country the size of India. If you look at the COVID situation, right, all the physical healthcare centers were shut down, and the only access to, let's say, doctors, etc., or the majority of the access to doctors, etc., was through online sources. We were fortunate that the government came out with telemedicine guidelines soon, actually almost fortuitously before the COVID pandemic struck. And then so many healthcare companies have innovated in getting video, audio consultations online. I'll give you another example. One of our family members at home, they started to show symptoms of COVID. You know, they started showing influenza-like symptoms. And in a normal scenario, we wouldn't know what to do. But, you know, today we are able to actually get video consultation done. We had testing done in the next 2 hours, where someone came, collected not just COVID samples, but also fever samples. The reports came online. The doctor called back using a digital infrastructure again. The medicines and e-prescription was issued. The medicines were delivered to the patient's home. And it was realized that the patient actually had typhoid and not COVID. Now, it's one thing to say that, oh, great. But it's another thing to go in and see all the innovation that went in to make this possible. You know, video and audio consultations that are available at the touch of a button. Testing through apps where you can go online and in your consultation window, post-consultation with the doctor, you can easily book a test, pay online. Someone comes to your home, collects your blood sample, gets it to a laboratory, reports coming online, doctor taking a look at them. And I feel that one of our core focuses has been, how do we just continue to extend this chain? If you extend this further, let's imagine if the person actually had COVID, then today there are solutions that industry has worked on which enable home quarantine, right? Where you will be assigned a registered nurse practitioner or a doctor who will call you twice a day. A pulse oximeter will be sent to your home potentially, and you can measure your saturation, etc. The doctor will be tracking you in a clinical system and making sure that your symptoms, etc., don't go bad, right? And then if your symptoms actually do get worse, then some of our friends have also put together infrastructure that actually lets you search and find a hospital bed available, connects you seamlessly with the nodal officers at the hospital, and brings some of this available to you. Something that we have been doing as an industry is coming together under the umbrella of SWAP. What we're doing is we are pulling in all our collective wisdom, collective strengths and capabilities, and building, you know, end-to-end COVID care solutions and hospital bed availability, connecting with nodal officers, testing, etc., home quarantine. All of these through the partners are being made available on a single. So there's single platform. So there's a lot of innovation happening, and it will continue to happen in this area.
And as we speak about this, could you also take me through what is the sort of collaboration that you on an industry level are having? I mean, this is a time when I'm sure competition is the key driver of the market too. But at the same time, have we come across instances wherein two companies or three companies are coming together and leveraging upon each other's sort of strengths and trying to help the ecosystem?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, as I alluded to in my previous comment, SWAST is a great example of how the industry has come together. We compete, of course, we compete every day, but SWAST has managed to bring together almost every stakeholder in the healthcare ecosystem, be it insurance companies from a financing standpoint, be it hospitals from a clinical standpoint, be it technology companies from telemedicine, medicines at home, e-diagnostics, e-consultations, etc. standpoint. We've been able to collectively come together under one umbrella called SWAST. And our goal with SWAST has been, one of the core areas of focus for SWAST has been, how do we make sure that people get the best help available for COVID? We started out with teleconsultations, where COVID teleconsultations were offered for free. Anyone who had influenza-like symptoms could call or could go to an app, the SWAST app, and request help the services were actually provided by the consortium or the group of providers behind SWASP. Everyone from hospitals, telemedicine companies like Practo, 1MG, smaller providers with different capabilities all came together. We started with telemedicine, quickly extended that to provide a continuum of care with medicines, diagnostics, again, bringing in not just online, but offline ecosystem into play as well, where a patient could find their local medicine shop and order medicines, call to order medicines from them. We brought in diagnostics where you could find ICMR-approved labs who could do tests for you. We figured out how that could be made possible through simple instructions and sets. From there on, we went to home quarantine. We brought on board, the industry again came together to launch standardized home quarantine solutions based on global guidelines. From there, we went to bringing in, you know, insurance and TPAs, where they provided their collective expertise to bring in digital solutions for bed availability, hospital bed availability, et cetera. So across the board, we brought so many solutions together in breakneck speed. And, you know, we've been working together only for 10, 12 weeks. And today it's the most comprehensive set of COVID solutions out there available to citizens for free. So the industry is, I feel, has done a great job just coming together, identifying, recognizing the need of the hour, and just pooling in their collective strengths and building a great solution for COVID.
Absolutely. You know, multiple companies are talking about the exponential growth in the revenue, 2 to 3x growth in the revenue at this point in time across multiple offerings that they have. Are you also positioned somewhere around the same number?
Yeah, absolutely. See, what has happened with COVID is that the physical infrastructure is undergoing a lot of stress, right? People cannot get out. They weren't able to get out during lockdown or even reduced lockdown stages. And frankly, even if they could get out, they are scared, meaning we are scared as a family to get out and do a lot of interaction in the physical ecosystem today. And some of this will continue until things stabilize, you know, and we learn to deal with the situation better. And as a result, what has happened is that the digital ecosystem has basically been on a skyrocket growth path where people need services, you know, chronic patients need medicines, people need tests done. For some time, we were able to delay the inevitable of, let's say, getting a diabetes test or a thyroid test done. But eventually, these things need to get done. And what the digital ecosystem has done is it's managed to provide these services in a safe and secure fashion to consumers who need them, you know, be it groceries, be it online shopping, be it, you know, healthcare services. All of these are available. And what's even more heartening is that it's not just the online who were, of course, there early on, but we are starting to see a massive sea change in the offline infrastructure coming online as well, right? You would have seen reports about, you know, local retail and restaurant associations, for instance, creating their own marketplace applications, etc. So these are all great things for the ecosystem. And they will just drive the digital conversion to digital much more rapidly. And we are seeing the same trends.
So if you could take me through across the three broader offerings that 1MG has, what sort of a growth in revenue have you reported?
Yeah, so let me start with e-consultations. On e-consultations, we are seeing 3 to 4x growth, primarily because that is the one that is very harshly affected. Hospitals, when functioning, are COVID hospitals. Doctors are very scared of seeing patients physically. And that's where we are seeing massive growth in terms of online adoption of care. You know, when you talk about e-consultations being 3-4x, then there's also the number of people approaching e-consultations for people like symptoms has also grown rapidly. Now, the next area is diagnostics, where, you know, patients can book tests on the 1MG application and then someone comes to your home for home sample collection, etc. Diagnostics as a sector in the early days of COVID was actually massively affected because, you know, when there's fear of infection, you don't want people coming to your home, taking a blood sample, et cetera. And 1MG was in no different state. You know, our diagnostics business suffered like 70-80% degrowth in the COVID time. But as the lockdown has eased, as COVID has become more of a thing which is here to stay and everyone is learning to deal with it, as companies have been able to convince patients and build protocols and SOPs around safe care delivery or sample collection, et cetera, we are starting to see a resurgence in that business. So today, that business is back to 70-80% to what it used to be before the COVID times, but nowhere close to, still some ways to go to what it was before. And then the last segment is, of course, online delivery of medicines. And there, what we are seeing is somewhere between less than e-consultations, but massive growth. So for the last 4 months, 1MG has grown, every month on month, except, when there was lockdown and there were supply chain issues. But every month since then, we have grown month on month. We have been able to grow without any marketing spend. So the typical, spend that we used to do on marketing, we have not needed to do to grow. We are able to meet all our growth objectives organically because people are just needing these services. They're coming online, discovering us through word of mouth, et cetera, and just buying. So
what is the revenue number? What is the growth digit that you're talking about?
Yeah, almost. I can't share the revenue numbers, but we are probably 50-60% higher even from the pre-COVID time. So, very, very, very good growth there.
All right. And coming on to the very last question that I would want to ask you, and a very crucial one at this point in time. Despite the fact that I'm sure all the companies are witnessing phenomenal growth in the demand of multiple services that they are offering, we are hearing that huge round of consolidations are also on the table. Get to learn that PharmEasy, which happens to be, of course, one of your competitors, again in talks to acquire MedLife, distant competitors of yours. So where are we positioned in terms of consolidation in the industry? And are you open for acquiring some younger companies in niche technology segment?
Yeah, look, the business is growing, right? But at the same time, it's almost like there's always two sides to the coin. So while the business is doing much better today, a lot of the venture-funded companies are finding that access to cash is a challenge, right? Especially in terms of funding, et cetera. And this is a trend that honestly was going on for a while now, where cash in the startup ecosystem, especially for larger companies, was under stress. And then COVID accelerated that stress. So a lot of companies have to accelerate their path to profitability, et cetera. Some of us have a structural advantage where, 1MG has a structural advantage in terms of the diversified business that it runs, the organic customer demand that it can generate, the kind of brand trust, etc., that it has. Some of our competitors are not so fortunate. Consolidation often is a means to get to a more healthy top line and bottom line for some of our competitors who are, let's say, more hardly hit than the rest of us in the ecosystem. So consolidation, I think, across the board, not just in healthcare, will be part of the game for some time now. And I honestly think this will lead to healthier businesses because it will take out irrational competition in the ecosystem, and we will get back to more rationality. Now, when it comes back to whether 1MG is open or not, look, in a startup, all conversations are open at all times. The core question is to define and identify the need. We have come across, of course, a lot of opportunities for acquiring or consolidating, acquiring smaller companies or consolidating them and creating stronger offerings. Most of those decisions have to be taken, also by what is the product market fit for those products, et cetera. So we are always open, but we haven't done and aren't planning to do anything at this moment.
All right. When you're talking about the funding bit, it's quite, I would say, important to discuss it at this point in time, especially because there are reports of 1MG also looking to raise internal rounds from existing investors. And existing investors, the round with existing investors happens more or less around the time when the market is in a state of dilemma, or I would say when investors from the industry are not sure about investing in a particular sector, or they're just holding on to their purse strings tightly given the uncertainty that the market has. Now, coming down to my question, if you could, let us know, where are you positioned in terms of this funding round? We get to learn that the company is in talks to raise about $17 million from its existing investors. Is that something in terms of a working capital that you need right now, or there is more money which is supposed to be coming in the next few months?
Yeah, no. So look, again, from a financial standpoint, 1MG, we were fortunate to be better placed probably than most of the ecosystem. And as I mentioned, we are a venture-funded company. So from time to time, we have needs for capital. When we reviewed the situation internally with our board, et cetera, everyone felt that 1MG is in a very, very strong position. And the COVID crisis is actually going to massively accelerate the adoption of digital health in the country and also globally. So our internal folks were of the view that 1MG should capitalize itself to make sure that it is on very firm footing until this whole situation tides over. The internal guys, even though we didn't need cash at the point, the internal guys said, look, it's good to have an additional backup so that you don't have to go out in the market in times of distress, and especially when the market is massively depressed and subdued. So the internal, the 17 million sector that you probably read about was in that vein as well. We are reasonably well capitalized at this point. We don't need to go hit the market anytime soon. And we are just working on, you know, executing the digital health vision that we started out with. We've never been in a stronger position with digital health actually being accelerated by the COVID pandemic. We have a lot of very, very strong innovations that 1MG has put together over the years, which are all coming together and driving, you know, massive adoption of 1MG services. So our goal is just to make sure that we continue to stay very strong and not have to go out into the market when things are not looking up for the ecosystem in general.
Right. So all your existing investors participated in this round, or there were select few?
Look, investors invest based on not their intent, but also on how their funds, etc., behave. So a couple didn't, but most of them did.
And the valuation was the very valuation that was of the company in the previous round when you raised $70 million last year?
We don't discuss valuation publicly, so can't comment on that.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Gaurav, for your time. And it was really splendid talking to you. I hope that, you know, in terms of all the facilities and all the infrastructure that you can provide to the healthcare system, it will be great to see how the country evolves from where we are sitting right now.
Thank you so much, Priyanka.
That's all that you have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nwagin.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrolform and @PriyankaSahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.